You know, when you come into a new place, sometimes you kind of feel like, you're kind of like stepping on eggs. Which way do you turn? But I want you to know from the very beginning when I saw your sign out front till this moment, and I know it's just going to keep continuing, sincerely, I feel right at home here. When I read on your sign, let's just love them all, God will sort everything out. You know, that is kind of the modus operandi of my life, my wife's life, and what we train all of our staff and disciples in, and that's to love people into the kingdom of God one at a time. Because we can all do that. We're called to love our neighbors, ourselves, and we can love them into the kingdom, because really, to truly love someone, you got to be concerned about their everyday life situations and problems, like this young lady who just went through, you know, a horror story and had so many problems. But we can't just be kind and helpful. We need to be kind and helpful. We need to be concerned about people's relationship with God and their eternal destiny, because that's the kind of love God wants us to show. That's the God kind of love. Whoa, why am I exploding? Okay, you got me good now? All right. I don't want to do anything that's, you know, all right. And I just love New York. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. And I lived in the greater Syracuse area. So many connections, you know. I lived in the greater Syracuse area where I was the founding director of a network of CareNet pregnancy care centers. And Pastor was praying about the abortion issue in New York, and those centers were designed to help women and their families avoid the tragedy of abortion, to help them and counsel them. And we did a lot of work in schools and all of that. And so, you know, our heart is there also. And then, of course, just the fact that you guys got sunshine here today. It confirmed to me again that promise in Jeremiah 31 where the Lord said, I will never cease to be faithful to Israel as long as the sun is in the sky. And so, you know, I'm glad you guys get to get that confirmation, you know, a few days a year, you know, that, yeah. And then go on and on, you know, Pastor and Rabbi Frank, we had a great time talking about baseball, and he was able to brag about a couple of his home runs that still some Messianic Jews in Frank's congregation can't get over, you know. And I was able to brag about the fact that I was on the Ralph Kiner show with Casey Stengel. If you know Casey Stengel, we already got your age, you know. Who knows Casey Stengel? All right. And how about Ted Williams? I was on the route. All right. One of the best hitters, if not the best ever, right? Ted Williams. And so we just had a great time praying together. And then to understand on top of it, you guys love the move of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. This makes me feel more at home than all the rest of it. All the rest of it just kind of contributes to that. But, you know, I understand after walking with the Lord for 41 years that without the power and empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. It's Yeshua's supernatural love and power working in us that causes rivers of life, living water, to flow out of us. This is what causes us to be lights in a dark world. This is what causes other people to want to grab hold of us and say, what makes you tick? Why do you have joy? I had my house burnt down. You talked to me about that. In 2004, our house burnt down in Belarus. We had sold our house in Syracuse, New York, built a house in Belarus. Belarus is located between Poland and Russia. We lived there for 12 years, and and started Messianic congregations and all kind of ministry to the poor and needy. People were making $60 to $80 a month. Man, I'm not even using my notes today, which is good, you know. And people were making $60 to $80 a month, and God's Spirit was just moving powerfully amongst the Jewish people. And so I just want to start really by just, again, welcoming the Holy Spirit. I want to remind myself that when we pray, who we're praying to. You know, I can fall into that kind of thing where, you know, I'm a believer, I'm a follower of Jesus, Yeshua, so I pray. But sometimes I forget who I'm praying to, you know? I mean, it's the God who created heaven and earth, who put the sun and the stars and the moon and the oceans in their place, who gives me the breath of life. And you know, in the book of Acts chapter 2, in this amazing move of God in Jerusalem, it says that the people of God were constantly in awe. And you know, so I just want to pray. Father, I just ask that you just fill us afresh with an awe of who you are. That when we pray and when we come before you, that we remind ourselves that you are so big, so powerful, that you are a consuming fire, but yet you relate to us as your beloved sons and daughters. And you pour grace and mercy into our lives day after day. And so I'm asking, Lord, today that the fire of your love would burn in a fresh way in my heart and in everybody's heart here, and that we would stand in awe of you in a new way, and that you would do wonders in us so that you can do wonders in new ways through us for a lost and dying world. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Well, let me just give you a little introduction to the ministry that my wife and I co-founded. It's called Reach Initiative International. You have a newsletter in your hand. If you didn't get one, ushers will make sure. Don't read it now. You can read it later, but if you didn't get one, we'll make sure the ushers get one into your hands. You can visit our website at reachii.org, find out all about the ministry. But just to give you an understanding of the calling that God put on us for this ministry, where we're ministering in Belarus, as I mentioned, Eastern Europe, located between Russia and Poland, India, which Frank alluded to, and the land of Israel, which we prayed for today. And I'm in Israel about 3 months a year. I have a daughter who lives in Israel, a son-in-law, two beautiful granddaughters, friends to many Holocaust survivors, believers in the land, and others. You know, so when 450 rockets are being shot into the land, and children and women and old people have to run into a shelter, it's all very personal to me, you know, because I know so many people there, and of course, family. So we have ministry in these three countries. We have teams in each of these countries because we love to build teams. You know, how many of you know ministry is more fun and more effective when you have teams? Yeah. And so we have four pillars or foci for our work. The first one is to do evangelism and make disciples of the people of Israel and the people of the nations, the Jewish people and the Gentiles. And God gave us a mandate, and this is why we end up in all of these different countries. He gave us a mandate to bring the good news of Yeshua to Jewish people who had never heard. Jewish people who had never heard. And we've sought to follow that, and we continue to seek to follow that mandate. Second focus of our ministry is to serve the poor and those in need. Third is to equip believers for ministry and to raise up leaders. And the fourth is to train and empower youth and young adults to impact their world for God. And I want to talk to young adults for 1 minute, 18 to like 35-ish. We run a camp every summer called Camp Holotzim. You can find info on our website. And if you want to join with about 30 of your peers from Eastern Europe to serve in our camp, we serve 120 teens and children every year. This is our 15th annual this summer. I want to extend an invitation to you to reach out, get an application, and maybe you'll be joining. The Holy Spirit loves, I don't know what else to say about this camp besides it's fun-packed. You're going to make lifelong relationships with believers from the other side of the world, but plus, the Holy Spirit loves to visit this camp. I don't do much at this camp. I just go to enjoy myself and bathe in the presence of the Lord during the meetings. And so that's an invitation for you, young people, 18 to 35. I'm going to give you another one in a minute. You know, how would you guys like to go to the Himalayan mountains with me for a moment on video? On video. You know, God works in amazing ways, and he may not lead you across the oceans. That's not the important thing. The important thing is that each one of us have on our radar every morning when we wake up that whether we're a carpenter, a lawyer, a street cleaner, a policeman, a fireman, whatever we are, a housewife, a student, that we are in full-time ministry. You don't have to be a pastor or a rabbi to be in full-time ministry. This is your calling. We should all be in a competition to be the greatest of all, but not for fame and all, to be the one that bows the knee the most, you know, because the greatest of all is the servant of all, Yeshua said. We're all in full-time ministry, and so we should all wake up in the morning saying, Lord, I'm going to go out and do my job. I'm going to do the best. I want to shine my light by being the best, integrity, good work in my job or wherever. But I know you might have some agendas for me here to bless people, to love on people, to help people. And I'm going to love people into the kingdom of God one at a time. Here I am. Today, tomorrow, here I am. Here I am. And Lord, you might start giving me some vision and ideas, you know, where I form teams or do something more. And you don't have to go across the ocean. You can do it right here in Buffalo, you know. And when God gave us a vision to construct Sunrise Messianic Training and Outreach Center, which is a lighthouse for Israeli seekers and a training center for young adult believers to train you in how to walk intimately with the Lord and to reach out with Yeshua's compassion to the lost. When we built this center in the Himalayan mountains, we had one thing, a word from the Lord that through prayer and consultation with other significant people in our lives that God wanted us to do it. We had no money. We had no know-how how to build there. India is a very corrupt nation, sadly. We didn't know how to deal with the government stuff. And God provided it all. So come with me for a minute to Sunrise Messianic Training and Outreach Center for an introduction to what God gave us the name Operation Yaakov during the Mumbai terror attack. This is the name he gave us for this ministry, Operation Yaakov, India. Can we put that video up, please?
India, in an ancient land weaving together amazing landscape, more than 1 billion people, hundreds of languages and dialects, and the worship of millions of gods. This mystical land attracts tens of thousands of Israeli travelers every year, many shopping spirituality. Imagine the sons and daughters of Abraham seeking for answers from Eastern mystics, gurus, Buddhist and Hindu meditation, yoga and drugs. But there is a lighthouse in this darkness, Sunrise Messianic Center in the Himalayan Mountains, a place where these weary travelers can find true peace for their souls. At Sunrise, hundreds of Israeli seekers have heard the good news of Yeshua for the first time in their lives. Many are now reading the forbidden book, the New Testament. Our guest house hospitality, Erev Shabbat, and biblical holiday celebrations have become a big hit with young Israelis and afford the opportunity to share life, Yeshua's love, and the good news. sitting down in a cafe to share a meal or hiking together in the mountains give our team members great opportunities to build relationships that opens hearts. We have come to understand that building this sincere friendship and trusting relationship are key. That is why in Israel we continue these relationships and we are following up with those we meet in India for personal meetings and our unique Indian night celebrations.
So another invitation for young people, if you have a heart to reach Israelis, and you might say, well, what do I know, how to reach Jewish people? But the fact of the matter is, this is another reason I feel really at home here. Many of us who are Messianic Jewish leaders today came to faith because a non-Jew came into our lives and just loved on us and shared with us about the Jewish Messiah. I was led to the Lord by an Italian guy 41 years ago. Yeah, that's why I like pizza so much, Yeah. And you know what? It's amazing that most Israelis have never heard the gospel and never ever heard about the Jewish Messiah and what he did, Yeshua. Most Israelis have never. Of the thousands that we have loved, more than 1,000, excuse me, that we have loved on and shared the good news with, a handful had ever heard the gospel. A handful. And I carry in my Bible a list of all of them. Why? Because I'm going to pray for them. And I want to invite you sometimes, just for name understanding, we call this Stuart and Chantal's list, kind of like Schindler's list, but this is an eternal salvation list. And young people like Stav, Gabriel, Ori, Sharon, Yochanan, Omir, Chen. So if you want to participate in the salvation of young Israelis, you can do it through prayers, through giving, and some of you young people can come, and you can just pray for Stuart and Chantal's list, because these are a whole bunch of Israelis who've been loved on and heard the good news, many of them reading the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, which is the forbidden book in amongst the Jewish people. When I grew up as a Jewish boy, that was a forbidden book. The New Testament, we were taught, was the book of the Gentiles. And Jesus is the God of the Gentiles, and therefore it has nothing to do with us Jews. You know what I'm saying? I grew up in a traditional Jewish family, and we didn't really pray at home much. We knew we were Jews. We would go to synagogue on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which is the Jewish New Year and Day of Atonement, kind of like nominal Christians go on Easter and Christmas. And that was the extent of it, except for a few celebrations at home. And my parents were very loving parents. They took wonderful care of their three children and guided us. But I became a seeker at the age of 18. And at the age of 25, Michael, that Italian guy, came into my life, and I knew he had something that nobody else that I had met ever had. Because I was seeking. I was talking to a lot of people, and I had already traveled a lot in order to find somebody who knew the purpose of life and where you find true meaning and happiness and love. And he had the Holy Spirit, and some of those little rivers of living water were flowing out of him. And that's when I came to realize that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah, the one promised in the Bible to my Jewish people over the centuries. And I want you to know my mom, my real Yiddish mama, my real Jewish mama's reaction to this. This is so important for you if you're going to be effective, and I believe God wants you to be effective in reaching Jewish people that are in your sphere of influence. My mom said the first words out of her mouth. My mom always believed in God and was very Jewish in her ways. My father was more of a kind of atheist, agnostic. My mom said, "How can you betray your people? How can you join with the Christians that persecuted our ancestors in Europe through the centuries?" You see, because Jewish people, sadly, have suffered more at the hands of so-called Christians in the church than Muslims and anyone else, you know, than we have from the Muslims or anyone else. And so this is embedded in the hearts of Jewish people. And so it's a wall that you have to overcome with your love. But your love can overcome it. But it's, I have some good news for you too, that today, even in the land of Israel, the nation of Israel, they understand that there are two kinds of Christians. There are Christians who persecuted us and still would persecute and stand against us. But then there are Christians like your pastor and all of you that are the very best friends to the Jewish people in the nation of Israel. So you have an important part, not only in the salvation of Jewish people to pray and to influence those that you can, but also because you are standing for the Jewish people's biblical right to own a little sliver of land. You know, sometimes you would think that it was bigger than, you know, China and Russia with all the news on Israel, but the fact of the matter, New Jersey is the fifth smallest state in our country, and Israel's about the same size as New Jersey. You know, it's teeny. So we thank God for you, and my mother began to realize that too, that there's two kinds of Christians, because she met all kinds of my friends, and she said, wow, all of your friends, there's so much love amongst them. I said, these are the people. These are not the ones who persecuted us. These are the true followers of Jesus, Yeshua, and God has put a great love in their hearts for our people and for our right to have the land of Israel. So hallelujah, we thank God for you. You can encourage me and say amen. So I'm a Messianic Jew, a Jewish follower of Yeshua. And people often ask, when did the Messianic Jewish movement begin? You may want to take notes. I'm going to allude to some scriptures really, really quickly. I always answer, well, not so long ago, only about 2,000 years ago. And you know, if you read Acts chapter 2, you're Pentecostals, right? Well, I want you to know the Jews were the first Pentecostals. Did you know that? Yeah. We were the originals, because in Acts chapter 2, it's the Jewish feast of Shavuot in Greek Pentecostos, 50 days after Passover, Pentecost. And Acts chapter 2, you read about Pentecost, and if you look at verse 5, there were God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven gathered in Jerusalem. Why? Because Moses told them, three times a year you come up to Jerusalem. Passover, Shavuot, Pentecost, Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles. Okay? And so they're being obedient. And it's one of God's appointed times. He does strategic things on these feasts. They're historic, they're present day, they're prophetic. He always does great things on these feasts. This is his deal. He invites us to celebrate on his feasts. How good can that be? You invite me to your birthday. Man, that's fun. That's good. God invites me to his feasts. That's off the charts. And so Peter stands up. And he says, men of Israel, I'm going to give you a few verses so you can check them out. He says, fellow Israelites, listen to this. Verse 22, and then in verse 41. So we know he's talking to the Jewish people, and we know it's almost all Jewish people there. And what happens when he gives a message? 3,000 Jews come to faith and are filled with the Holy Spirit that day. You ever get the picture sometimes because of some inaccurate teachings out there or kind of like a slanted view of reading the Bible sometimes that pretty much all the Jews rejected Jesus in the time of Yeshua? No, they didn't. 3,000 in one day, and then check this out. In Acts chapter 4, it's already 5,000 Jews just counting men. And then in Acts 6:7, if you've seen this scripture, I want you to shake my hand outside and give me a big hug. But if you haven't, now you saw it, so you can shake my hand anyway and give me a big hug. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. You ready for this one? Acts chapter 6, then verse 7. Then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Who were these feet, priests? There was no Catholic Church. Hindus weren't in Jerusalem. These were the Jewish priests who had rejected him, handed him over to Pilate to be crucified. And now, as the Holy Spirit continues to move, they're going, oh my goodness, what did we do? We made the mistake of history, a lifetime. They repented and they embraced the Messiah. You see, it's the most Jewish thing that a Jewish person can do is embrace the Messiah that's been promised to our people throughout the ages. That's why, even though I love the word Christian, I call myself a Messianic Jew so that people understand this is a Jewish deal that I got into, and it's a big help to my people to understand that this is a Jewish deal and it's not a foreign deal for us, you know? So Acts 6:7 is amazing. And then if you read Acts 21:20, if you're in the New King James or the King James, it says myriads of Jews. Myriads is tens of thousands of Jews were born again into the kingdom of God. Myriads, tens of thousands. And history tells us that there were more than 100,000 born again Jewish followers of Jesus, Yeshua, by the end of the first century in Jerusalem and Judea alone. And the Jerusalem congregation was probably the first ever mega congregation ever. It had to be a minimum of 20,000. So perhaps the greatest revival, or one of the greatest at least, in the history of the church occurred 2,000 years ago in the land of Israel amongst the Jewish people. And guess what? Until Acts chapter 10, how many Jews we have in this audience beside Frank? Okay, so I'll speak to all of you. You guys weren't even mentioned yet. It's 10 years after the ascension of Yeshua. Now, we know God loves you guys as much as he loves us. We have a unique calling on our lives. We'll talk about that a little bit. But we're no better or worse than you. We all need to be saved by grace through faith. There's one way for Jew and Gentile. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, said Jesus, the Savior of the world, the Messiah of Israel. But you're not even mentioned yet. You know why? Because there was confusion in the minds of the apostles, like sometimes there's confusion in the minds of Christians today. In their minds, they thought when Yeshua said, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, they figured the Jewish people on all these places. And it took a revelation. It took an angelic visit to a Gentile and a powerful revelation to the Apostle Peter for God to bring this to the next level, that the God of Israel, the Messiah of Israel, he's the Savior and God of all peoples. And how do I know this? Because I read the Bible. Acts chapter 10. It's a story of who? Cornelius, exactly. Exactly. You see, one aspect of the Jewish calling is to be a light to the nations. Yeah. And the apostles started to get it only 10 years after his resurrection, when God gave Peter the revelation and Cornelius an angelic visit. And as Peter's preaching to Cornelius and his Gentile friends, he said, you know, usually I wouldn't even come into your house, but God told me to. And so I guess I'm supposed to tell you about Yeshua. This is what went on with him. And as he's talking, just like the Holy Spirit fell on the Jews in Acts chapter 2, it falls on Cornelius and all of his friends and family. And then Peter goes, aha, this is for everybody. This is for our people, the Jewish people, and for everybody. And you know, sometimes in the church, people get aha moments when I preach, and they understand that God did not reject the Jews. And that a Jew doesn't need to become a Gentile to become a follower of Yeshua. He needs to become a fulfilled Jew, believing in the promises made to our people throughout the centuries. And so sometimes this is an aha moment in modern day for my Christian brothers and sisters, maybe for some of you today. And so I think a proper way to summarize the book of Acts is this. You can check it out for yourself. In Acts, from Acts chapter 2 to Acts 10, the story of Cornelius, we essentially have a story of Jewish revival. Tens of thousands of Jews coming to faith. And then from Acts chapter 10 to Acts chapter 28, we have a story of ongoing Jewish revival as the story follows the Jewish apostle Paul, who was Shaul. And by the way, he didn't become a Christian when his name became Paul. See, he had a Roman name and a Jewish name. I have an English name and a Jewish name. My name is Shlomo. Shlomo Zalman. And Stuart. And Stuart is not a non-Jew. And Shlomo is not the Jew. You know, Shlomo and Stuart are one guy. Hello, here I am, Shlomo Stuart. I'm Jewish. So it was Paul, his kind of Greek Roman name, and Shaul, his Jewish name, and he used those names interchangeably for the sake of his mission, as I do too. In India, amongst the Israelis, they know me as Shlomo, not Stuart. And so Paul continued to live as a Jew, and you see that it was his practice to go into the synagogues wherever he went. And when he went into the synagogue, you get a real clear picture of what happened. Some Jewish people believed, and some Gentiles who were called God-fearers, they were called God-fearers because they believed in the God of Israel, and they worshiped in the synagogue. And you don't have to become Jewish to be saved. And I don't have to become Gentile to be part of the body of Messiah. Together, we are described in Romans chapter 11. You can go back and read that when you get home. You see, Paul, Shaul, he compares the body of Christ to an olive tree. And he says, Jews are natural branches that when we believe in Yeshua, we're grafted back into our own tree. And he says, Gentiles are wild branches. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, you're wild. Amen. You got a witness from your pastor now. And he wants some of you to calm down, you know. And so Jewish branches, natural branches. Gentile branches, wild branches. We make up the olive tree and or the body of Christ. And so when you put logic together, this is a Jewish tree, right? If you have pears grafted into an apple tree, the pears are the wild branches. But it's an apple tree with apple roots. And so what are the roots of your faith? It's listed for you in Romans chapter 9, 1 through 5, in a very nice way. The roots of your faith are the covenants made with Abraham, the glory given to the Jewish people, the teachings given to the Jewish people, the covenants made with the Jewish people that then you were invited into. See, and why is this important? Is it important? Because you got to hear me again. I've been at a conference once in India where a guy stood up at the end, you're just trying to say Jews are better than everybody else. I said, man, the whole thing's been recorded. I said four times, Jews are no better than anyone else. We're not worse than anyone else. But why is it important? Because it is God's strategic plan. It's truth. Biblical truth. And the more we tune into truth, the more effective we can be for Yeshua in his kingdom purposes. This is why it's important. It's not like I'm trying to lift up Jewishness or I'm giving this message simply because I'm Jewish. It's because I want to see the kingdom of God expand amongst my Jewish people and your people. Because I love your people too. And you know what? So did the Jewish apostles. You know, I kind of really grabbed hold of this when I was in India. India, they have 2 million gods more, really, but let's just say 2 million. That's enough to boggle our mind. And they worship idols, and behind all of this worship is demonic powers, of course. And so for me, inside of my spirit, two things go on. This like totally disgusts me and turns me off. And on the other side, I have compassion for the people that they're enslaved to worshiping things made with their hands and the demonic powers behind it. And so then I think of the Jewish apostles and disciples 2,000 years ago, where for a long time they were taught through Moses, and God would confirm it through the prophets, stay away from those idol-worshipping Gentiles. They're going to pollute you. And now God is saying, go out to them, you know? And so they had to be moved with what was a supernatural love of God. And many of them got beaten, stoned, killed by these Gentiles who didn't like this one God worship. And there were Jews involved in this too sometimes. But the point is that they had an incredible supernatural love. And I experienced that when I went to India, that it's a supernatural love, because in the natural it turns me off, and just as a Jew it turns me off, but God gives me a supernatural love for the people. And that's the way our God works, where people who are different, you know, in the world, if you're different, you got to be bad, right? But for us, people who are different, God gives us a supernatural compassion and love, and it's awesome. It's awesome. So the modern rebirth of the Messianic Jewish movement real quickly occurred around 1967 when Jerusalem came into Jewish hands. And you'll remember that Yeshua himself prophesied this in the book of Luke, Jerusalem would again come into Jewish hands. And I think it's Luke 21 or Luke 20. You can look it up. Sorry, I didn't write it down. Do you know which one it is, Frank? Luke, where Jerusalem, Yeshua said Jerusalem would be trampled down by the Gentiles until... Luke 21:20, right? Luke 21:20. And that was fulfilled in 67, and at about the same time, oftentimes the physical things relating to Israel and the Jewish people correspond with some spiritual things. And there was this Jesus people revival in America. Who remembers that? We got your age pinned too. And I was a part of that also. And many of the Messianic Jewish leaders today came into faith through that movement. And when we came to faith, we asked ourselves, who are we? And we went back to the book of Acts, and we understood that we're the same as those Jews who came to faith. We are completed or fulfilled Jews who believe in the promise given to our people over centuries. And so we are Jewish followers of Yeshua, and we can live out our faith with Jewish identity. Man, it was so beautiful to hear you pray in Hebrew over the communion. Wow. That's back to your roots, you know? And so we understood we needed to stay true to our roots for two reasons: to help the church get back to their roots, because there's more power in truth. There's more power in truth to get back to your roots, and to help our Jewish people see that it's a wrong teaching that our rabbis have given us, that Jesus is the God of the Gentiles and the New Testament is the book of the Gentiles. And so that's why that was important. And by the way, I believe God set it up so that we have a love debt to one another as Jewish followers of Jesus and Gentile followers of Jesus. What's the love debt? I have a love debt to you, and I thank you that the Gentiles preserved the writings of the New Testament when our Jewish sages and rabbis rejected it as authoritative. So I'm always grateful for that. Always grateful. And the Gentiles have a love debt to the Jews. God made it this way so that back and forth, you know, we wrote the book. pretty much all the books of the Bible written by Jewish people inspired by the Spirit of God. And so God set it up so that we would love and appreciate one another and that we would care about one another's relationship with the eternal. Amen? Amen. So I want to go back just briefly to our ministry and give you a little bit more of an update there. When we moved to Belarus in 1995, again located between Poland and Russia, we moved with our four children. And it was a calling of God to bring the gospel to Jewish people and to the Gentile people in that part of the world because they had been enslaved under 70 years of atheistic communism. You know, under communism, all the churches were closed and all the synagogues were closed. And if a Jew, just to give you an example, was caught carrying unleavened bread matzah on Passover, that was a criminal offense. And so Jewish people knew nothing about their God, and they knew nothing about Messiah, but there was a hunger. Once that iron curtain fell, they understood that they had been deceived and manipulated and oppressed for all of these years, and they wanted to know. And Jewish people wanted to know, and the people of Belarus and all of the Soviet Union wanted to know, what does true spirituality look like? And it was an amazing move of God. An amazing move of God, where we saw atheists, Jewish intellectuals, drug addicts, alcoholics, and many leaders of the Jewish community transformed by the love and power of Jesus. Hundreds born again into the kingdom of God, and it was, wow. And today these works continue, and we continue to oversee them. More than 50 members of our congregations have immigrated to Israel, made aliyah, immigrated, gone up to Israel, many of them serving the Lord there. You know, in Israel in 1948, there were two messianic congregations in the country. Today, there are more than 200 messianic congregations and groups in the country. There were about 100 Messianic Jews in the country in 1948. Today, estimates are around 15,000. And so we're at the cusp, and I want to impart this to you because I want you to support it in prayer. We are at the cusp of the promised end-time revival of the Jewish people, just the tip of the iceberg that was promised and prophesied in the Bible. And why is this important? Just as the Jewish, first of all, love. It's important. It's God's plan. It's love. But second, it's important because just as the Jewish apostles and disciples brought the good news to your ancestors, directly or indirectly, and the Bible said that the Jews were designed to bring the spiritual riches of the living God to the nations, once again, God wants to revive that plan so that what we know as the church will just explode. This is his desire, just like it exploded in the past. And so that's why it's part of God's strategy, and it's very important. I just want to bring your attention to one more aspect of our ministry. This aspect of our ministry is so dear to my heart. We have been serving survivors of the Holocaust for 24 years. And when I say serve survivors of the Holocaust, I'm talking about week after week. We become family to many of them. Recently, there was a day in Israel just this past week called Yom HaShoah. Yom is day. And it's the day to remember the Holocaust. The day to remember 6 million innocent men, women, and children were slaughtered, tortured by the Nazi killing machine simply for the crime of being born Jewish. I've been in the homes of dozens of Holocaust survivors. Very many of them are close friends, family, you can even say. One of my dear friends, Leonid, he's since passed on. Leonid wanted everybody to know that the ghettos and the concentration camps were places of torture, humiliation, starvation, and death. 100,000 Jewish people died in the Minsk ghetto. Minsk is the capital of Belarus. 800,000 Jews were murdered on the soil of Belarus. Leonid told us his story. He wrote a book. We're actually helping to translate it into English. He wrote a book called Never Forget. And we must not forget. We must stand against anti-Semitism, anti-Israelism as people of God, and we must stand against any prejudice. This is part of who we are. And he wrote a book called Never Forget, and he told me this story as well. It's in his book. He lost all 38 members of his family, and he saw his father get murdered. You know why his father got murdered? Because there was a rule that if you passed by a Nazi soldier, you needed to take off your hat and tip it. And his father was walking, and he didn't see a Nazi soldier. And so the soldier called him out, and he apologized and tipped his hat. And the Nazi soldier said, "Too late." And in front of this teenager, Leonid's eyes, the guy shot his father in the head and killed him. Story after story like this of unimaginable evil. And today, with anti-Semitism increasing, I'm thankful for brothers and sisters like you who pray and stand up, because we cannot allow this. This is the demonic, dark thing. You know, you think, how did the people of Germany, who were so educated and sophisticated, how could they do such a thing? How could they do such a thing? It is a demonic thing. They became demonically mesmerized. They're responsible for their behavior, but we understand the kind of, we pull back the curtain and we see what was going on. And we see the same thing going on again. That people are being demonically mesmerized and thinking to kill a Jew is a good thing. To kill an innocent worshiper in a church is a good thing. It's crazy. So survivors of the Holocaust, they often feel lonely and forgotten. Today we are serving Holocaust survivors throughout the land of Belarus and in 6 different cities in Israel, groups representing altogether about 700 Holocaust survivors. The Lord put on my heart and on my wife's heart to bring them comfort and to set platforms for him personally to comfort them, so that through our relationship with them, they would discover that Yeshua was with them when they suffered. You remember that passage in Matthew 25? It says, when you gave a cup of water, something to eat, visited the sick or imprisoned or the naked, Jesus said, you did it to me. You did it to me. So I find serving Holocaust survivors another wonderful and unique opportunity to touch my Lord Yeshua. And it's a tragedy that they feel lonely and forgotten today, but we want them to know that followers of Yeshua love them, honor them, and will never forget. And so we help them practically. We take them to the doctor. We help them go shopping. We organize celebrations of the biblical feast for them. We take them on excursions. You'll read about an amazing excursion in that newsletter that we just took a group from Belarus to the land of Israel. Holocaust survivors, many of them who had never been to the land of Israel, they said, please take us, help us get there before we pass from the earth. We want to visit our homeland before we pass from the earth. You can read about that in that newsletter I gave you. And ultimately, our goal is to love them into the kingdom of God one at a time. And I want to give you an idea. See, because in order for us to accomplish any of this work, it takes partnerships. What do I mean by partnerships? You understand these things. It takes the people on the ground, us and our teams, to do the work. And it takes people who are behind to pray and to support the work with their finances in whatever way God leads them. And so I'm hoping perhaps God will lead some of you to partner with us in one way or another, whether it's prayer or giving, or maybe some of you young people coming out to be with us on the mission field. But I want you to hear Holocaust survivors right now sharing about what the ministry means to them, because their words and faces will tell you a lot more than I can.
Спасибо большое вашей общине за помощь, что меня не забывают, что меня опекают, молятся за мое здоровье. И все, самое лучшее пожелание. Они помогали в свое время моей сестре, но она уже умерла, сестра. Очень много помогали. И сейчас они ко мне ходят, и я их всех люблю и жду всегда с удовольствием.
Both Lucia and her sister Rose became believers in Yeshua, and they've passed on.
Виктория очень часто звонит, приходит и уделяет внимание.
That's Leonid.
И то, что вы делаете, это неоценимый вклад. Час, который вы здесь у меня, он дороже мне, чем целый день, когда я сижу один в большой этой хате.
За подарок, но самое важное — это не сам подарок, а то, что оказывает внимание.
You'll see Naum on the face of your newsletter. We took him to Israel at the age of 96.
Даже сохраняю все открытки, все поздравления, которые Стюарт и Шанталь нам присылают. Вот это что такое Брит Хадаша? А это за все годы открытки, поздравительные. Мы больше узники, ни от кого их не получаем.
Приходит ко мне, ну, бывает, несколько раз в неделю. Мы с ней тут пьем чай, читаем Библию. Она мне приносит литературу, которая мне открыла глаза на многие вещи. Я, будучи офицером, я занимался, у меня была нагрузка такая, занимался атеизмом. Сейчас я от этого отказался, но я верю в Бога. Я знаю, что Бог один, я знаю, что у него Сын Божий есть. Я им всем доверяю.
Аллилуйя! Аллилуйя! I want to just share something very practical with you that I hope will help you love people into the kingdom of God one at a time. I'm going to illustrate it through the story of Yevsei when we first came to him. As he said, he was an officer in the Soviet forces. He was a confirmed strong atheist. And when we first delivered a holiday food basket to his house, he was very happy because he was kind of lonely. He couldn't, his balance wouldn't allow him to go on the streets too often because he would fall. He was 89 years old when we first met him. And After a number of months, we kept visiting him and helping him out as we could. And he would just say to us during that time, you know, you guys are great people. You can keep come visiting me, but don't tell me any of your fairy tales from the Bible. I'm an atheist. So this is how it goes. You know, in every member of our congregations, our four congregations in Belarus, and I encourage it everywhere, they carry a card. And on one side is written Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. And Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, to summarize, it says that we should be imitators of God and live a life of love. And that we should give ourselves the way Yeshua gave, right? And so we call that the Ephesians 5, 1, 2 lifestyle commitment, that we're going to live this lifestyle. And on one side, we write our family members that don't know the Lord. And the other side, 5 to 7 people that we're going to love and pray into the kingdom of God. And so back to Yefsay, how this works. So he's not really open saying, sure, you know, yeah, Yeshua, great. You know, that's not where he was at. And so what we're doing is we're unconditionally loving him and bowing the knee to serve him, asking nothing in return. And in the background, we're praying like crazy, you know. We're praying, praying, praying. And so after a while, Yefsay says, what makes you people tick? And from the beginning, we told him, it's like the love of the Jewish Messiah in us for you. And he wants you to know he was with you when you suffered. He's with you now. He loves you. He wants to be with you forever. And so he says, give me something to read. You know, I got a lot of time on my hands. Give me something to read. And so we give him some things to read. Tanya, actually, who is taking care of him. She's the leader of that aspect of our ministry. And then you heard his testimony a few months after he got the literature. It opened his eyes. God gave him revelation, touched his heart. And he lit up as a real follower of Yeshua and found a family that loved him, kids, great-grandkids, so to speak, spiritual, you know, in coming to our congregation in that city. And so it takes some faith. It takes some sacrifice. It takes some perseverance. It takes a lot of love, a lot of listening, a lot of patience. But, you know, it's worth it. 10 years, after 5 years, I would say, Lord, how long with my mom? 10 years, how long? 20 years, how long? After 32 years of me, my wife, and my children loving on her, my very Jewish mother, who always believed in God, said, I'm afraid to meet God and I'm afraid to die. And I explained to her one more time why you don't need to be afraid. It's because of our Messiah, Yeshua. And she accepted him at the age of 82. So sometimes we're a little too fast to shake the dust off our feet, you know, or feet, is that a word? Yeah. It's a New York word. And sometimes we're too fast to shake the dust off our feet or to look at people as our political, ideological enemies. See, the foundation of the kingdom of God is to love our enemies even into the kingdom of God. And they're going to be blown away because it's like when you love somebody and they don't love you, it's like putting burning coals on their head, not to hurt them, but to convict their conscience that, wow, there's another way to live and it's a better way. I want to share with you one more opportunity. In Belarus, there has never, ever, in the history of this nation, been a Messianic Jewish ministry center and synagogue. Never. And so God put another crazy idea on our hearts, and we and our team decided to build the first ever in the history of the nation. Can we put that up? This 10,800 square foot building here would probably cost millions of dollars. There it's probably going to be between $500,000 and $600,000 to build it. And you can see that we got the basement foundation all built, and this season, you know, it's a multi-year project because step by step, and we, you know, get the money step by step. we want to put up the side walls and the roof before winter. Belarus has serious winter like Buffalo, you know. And so we want to get that up. And I want you to know that the members of our congregations are sacrificing, but the average wage in Belarus is $350 per month. Not a week, per month. $350 per month. So it's obvious that in order to build this, we need help from our friends in more prosperous nations. And so I want to just extend that opportunity for you. If God puts on your heart to help build this first ever Messianic Jewish ministry center and synagogue in Belarus, we need $20,000 as soon as possible to complete this next phase. And we've made a decision that anybody from outside of Belarus who gives to this building, when the building's complete, your name's going to be on the wall of thanksgiving. You know, oftentimes to get on a wall, you need to give $1,000 or $10,000. But we feel like Yeshua's way is the widow's mite. Anybody who gives should go on the wall of thanksgiving. So whatever you give, whatever God puts on your heart, this is what I always say to the people of God when it comes to this. Just do what God says. If it's out of your abundance, give out of your abundance. If it's a sacrifice, trust me. The Lord God of heaven and earth knows how to take our sacrifices and multiply them into multiplied good for us. You agree with that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So that's an opportunity for you. And you have your newsletter in your packets. And in that newsletter, there's a card there. That facilitates your giving. You can give with a check, cash. You can give with a credit card, or you can go online. And I'm very grateful that Pastor Sam will be taking an offering today. This is an opportunity for you to sow into the salvation of the people of Israel, the blessing and salvation of Holocaust survivors, and Jewish people in a land where communism stole everything from them to have the first ever Messianic Jewish synagogue in the history of the nation. And I want to tell you something wild. You'll be joining, if you give to the synagogue, you'll be joining with many Holocaust survivors out of their meager pensions giving to this center. Many Holocaust survivors are giving because they recognize the love that we've given them. Many are followers of Yeshua. As a matter of fact, 32 of them have been born again into the kingdom in just the last 2 years. And when I say this, many of you don't know much about Jewish ministry. So I want you to know, you know, when a ministry sees one or two Holocaust survivors born again, Rabbi Frank will bear witness. This is huge. This is huge. In the last 2 years, we've seen 32. It's just an amazing work of God that he's using our approach and our love to them to bring them into the kingdom of God. And so they value Yeshua, they value the body of Messiah, Messianic Jews, and so this is why they're also giving sacrificially to see this Messianic center built. So actually, you know, we just had an open door to serve another 200 Holocaust survivors in the north of Israel. And in order to serve them the way that we're used to serving them and giving them the staff and programs that are needed, we're looking for more partners to help us. You know, and if God puts on your heart to be a monthly partner at whatever sum, that's demonstrating your love month after month after month to these Jewish people, and you're helping us reach Holocaust survivors that we can't fully serve without the help of partners on the ground. I want to conclude with this scripture. And by the way, I forgot to mention, when you give a gift, we'll put you on our mailing list, and that's a sacred trust between you and us. We will not share your information with anybody. Or if you simply want to stay informed, you can use that card to sign up, or I have a sign-up sheet out in the front hall. You can sign up to get our weekly newsletters. find out what God's doing amongst the Jewish people around the world, or you can go online to get it. And when you do, as a welcome gift, I want to send you a very powerful story. It's a story written by Irina, a Holocaust survivor. And the title of the story is How, written by a Holocaust survivor, How Do You Believe in a God Who Would Allow the Holocaust? It's a powerful story. And once you get it, share it with friends, because it's a powerful story. So conclude with this. As you know, the Apostle Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. But that doesn't mean he forgot his Jewish people. And in Romans 10:1, he said this, "Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God on behalf of my fellow Israelites is for their salvation." It's good to bless Israel. It's good to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But the ultimate prayer for my people is that heartfelt prayer for their salvation, because the Jewish Messiah lives in you, and you know what that means. And so you want them to have their own Messiah living in them in the same way. It's life itself. It's eternal life. And so Paul also says this, because I'm convincing you now of something important. I'm working hard at this. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, says, "Imitate me. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." So Paul is saying, "I'm an example to you. Follow my character, my faith, my way of life, my teachings, my prayer life." And what's his prayer life for the people of Israel? It's not like, "Oh, Lord, bless them, help them." You know, it's, "Brothers, sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the people of Israel is that all of them would know what you promised to us. The Messiah has come. Their salvation." So I want to encourage you to pray for the salvation of the Jewish people and put it on your prayer list. I remember once doing a seminar in India. I've done them all over India, called Israel in the Church. And Pastor Jerry organized the one in Mumbai. It happened to happen during the same time during that Mumbai terror attack. You can kind of see it in that movie, Hotel Mumbai. And so we were thinking about canceling it, but we didn't, and we're glad we didn't. And so we meet with Pastor Jerry and about 50, 70 of his pastors. And when Pastor Jerry shows me this kind of booklet that he puts out, he says, "Rabbi Stewart, look at our first prayer request on our booklet." And it says, "We pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the blessing of Israel." And I smiled and I said, "Hey, Pastor Jerry, I bet after this seminar you're going to change that." And he thought, "What is he talking about? You know, isn't he glad?" "Yeah, I'm glad. Yeah. Isn't he glad that we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the blessing of Israel?" And so I did the seminar. And the next time I saw Pastor Jerry, he showed me that booklet he puts out again. He says, "Rabbi Stewart, look at our first prayer request. We pray for the salvation of the people of Israel, the Jewish people. And we bless Israel and pray for the peace of Jerusalem." Okay? So this is important. This is important. And God will pour blessing on you. God will pour blessing on you. So Paul is the example. This is his example. Less than 2% of my Jewish people know Yeshua. This is the best estimate that I've heard. And, you know, Jewish people, many of them are poor and in need. This stereotype that all Jewish people are rich. Man, just come with me to Israel and Belarus, and that stereotype is going to be crashed. You know, the Bible does instruct Christian churches and Christians to carry Yeshua's heart of love and compassion for the Jewish people. And I believe, because of who your pastor is and his heart, you're the kind of people that will be shining examples in the body of Christ of this, because we need these shining examples to show our other brothers and sisters this is what the Bible teaches and this is the heart of God. I just want to pray. Can we get a keyboardist up here, maybe? Or a huzmawat, whatever. You know, in New York City, we call huzmawats whatchamacallits, and, you know. Do we have the keyboardist still here? Come on, don't be shy. You guys did, didn't they do a great job leading us in worship? Yeah. That was another thing that made me feel at home here. So I want to pray for you, but before I pray for you, I want to do something else. This is what I want to do. We did this at Rabbi Frank's yesterday. Sometimes I get the impression, and actually, just to be honest with you, I got away from it for a few years, and the Lord really corrected me, and he said, get back in. Do what you were doing before. And sometimes I'd get an impression that the Lord, yeah, just pray something kind of worshipful. Something not too downbeat, not too upbeat, kind of. And so the Lord told me to get back to it. And I get the impression that the Lord, a little bit lower, turn him down a little bit so that he don't drown me out. It's okay. No problem. And that the Lord wants to touch his people in special ways. You know, the scriptures say that Yeshua fulfilled that passage in Isaiah 61 where he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And what does he do? He heals broken bodies. He heals broken hearts. He sets people free from the chains that bind them and the prisons that enclose them. He gives them freedom and joy in life. And so I sense that God wants to do all of this today. I believe he wants to touch broken bodies. I think he wants to heal wounded hearts, broken hearts. I believe he wants to set people free from things that are pulling them down. And I want to encourage you. I don't have the gift of healing. Doesn't that make you happy? You're probably saying, wow, I hope he's going to lay hands on me. He's got the gift of healing. Nope, I don't have the gift of healing. And actually, the way the Lord had me do this and has me do this, I don't even pray for healing. It's just kind of like I get a picture of Yeshua kind of going around and touching his people. And so if you have a sickness or a disease that you can see, just for a starter, that you can see, maybe it's like a growth, a rash, or, you know, you couldn't bend your knee or you couldn't lift your arm. If you get 50% or better right here and now, then we want to praise God together with you because we know that that's the work of Yeshua. And if there's a disease that you can't prove or check now because it's internal, but you sense God is doing something, we want to praise him, but you go check that at your doctor. And then you come back and you tell your pastor and you testify before the church, okay? Because we want this to be real. Because we serve a real living God, okay? So I'm not going to pray. You need to check yourself. That's the idea. You've got to check your growths, your rashes, your whatever. Your knees, your shoulders, your necks, whatever it might be, you need to check yourself. So you do that. Yesterday, during the meeting, a couple of people said they received a healing, and others received other kinds of things, which we're going to not pray for, but thank God for. And then at the end, God even healed a doctor. Dr. Chet, right? And he said, his knees were so bad he couldn't walk the last couple of days and nothing was happening during the service. And then when he kind of got up and was getting out, he said, wow, nothing there anymore. And then he came over to me and Rabbi Frank to let us know so that we could praise God together with him. So Yeshua, I just want to thank you that your word says that you will confirm your word with healings, miracles, signs, and wonders. I have no power in me to do that myself in my own strength. You are the great healer. And I just thank you. I just thank you that you are the wonder worker. And I thank you that you're moving amongst your people to touch people that have things that are broken or sick in their bodies. I just thank you for this. Lord God, just thank you for this. Thank you, Lord. And I just want to praise you for breaking off people hopelessness. Lord God, I sense some people are like they've lost hope for their future or for important things in their lives. Renew hope. Renew faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're renewing hope and faith. Thank you that you're bringing people into a new place of dependence on you. Some of us have made the Declaration of Independence along with the great declaration of our nation, and Yeshua wants you to make the declaration of dependence on him today. I thank you, Lord. Some of you may have kind of gotten a little bit lukewarm. You know, the excitement's gone out of this walk with the Lord, and it's just become, you know, kind of like, you know, you're supposed to read your Bible some, pray some, come to church. I believe that Yeshua is reigniting your fire. He's reigniting your passion for him. He's my passion. He's reigniting your passion for him and for his kingdom. Some of you have been kind of overwhelmed by the problems of life, and I don't in any way want to minimize the situations you're facing. But Yeshua said we're going to have problems, but he's bigger than those problems. Yes. And that we can have supernatural joy in the midst of the most challenging situations. And I believe for some of you, he's kind of lifting off this like melancholy kind of depression and filling you with a supernatural joy in the midst of your problem and giving you eyes that go off your problem, like he's pushing your head off. So like he's changing your view to not see the problems, but to see the problem solver. Yes. To see him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, you're touching bodies. Thank you that you're touching bodies. Lord, I don't understand why we don't get healed all the time. I'm sure it's something with me and with us, but it doesn't matter. You're not condemning us. Sometimes it's just your timing. Sometimes it's just a bigger picture. Lord, I sense somebody might have unforgiveness. I understand that unforgiveness is a real barrier to your grace and healing power. Lord, I pray that that person now, I'm praying for this, that that person now finds courage to say, no matter how much they've been hurt, disappointed, or offended, I forgive and bless that person and name them, name them, name them. Bless them and keep doing it until you feel totally free, because God has forgiven me much and forgiven you much, and he wants us to forgive all. He wants to forgive all. I sense that there are some of you that have been battling with an habitual sin, maybe just one or two, maybe a few more, an habitual sin or an addiction like pornography, and you feel like this is it. This is your destiny. You're going to have to, you can't beat it. It's so powerful, you can't beat it. The chain's broken. The prison doors are open, says Yeshua. Walk out. Walk out walk out into your freedom. Walk out into your freedom. And usually, you need some help to continue the walk in freedom. Because the devil wants to put those chains right back on you. And so open up. The devil wants to keep you in the shadows. It's no shame to open up. We've all had different problems. Open up to your pastor, his wife, or one of the leaders, or someone you trust that's mature. Open up. Get the help you need to keep your freedom. You are not destined to be a slave to sin or addictions. You are destined for freedom and joy and fullness of life, and to have a great testimony for Yeshua. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All glory and honor to you. Lord, we stand in awe of who you are. We stand in awe of who you are. You are amazing. Your love for us is amazing. Your power is amazing. Your mercy is beyond my ability to fathom. Thank you. So, if you receive something that I announced or something similar, can you just wave your hand to the Lord and just thank Him? Lift it up really high. We all need to see it. You know, it's not just for you and Him. We need to see it. It encourages us if you receive something from Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to pray now, Lord, what you've begun, complete for your glory and because of your great love for the people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We bless you, Yeshua. We bless you, Yeshua. Father God, now I want to pray. Father God, I just thank you for the heart of Pastor Sam. And I understand that as the leader, he reflects the heart of the church. I want to thank you for his heart for revival. And I want to thank you for his heart for the Jewish people. Lord God, I pray that this church in Buffalo would be known amongst many other churches and believers as a unique place where the love and fire of God burns in a special way, where the love of God burns in their heart for the Jewish people. Their support of Israel is amazing. Father God, may it just light up amongst other churches and be an example to other churches and Christians. And I pray, Father God, that you would expand their tents. That, Lord God, that this building would be inadequate to hold all of the newborn babies in the kingdom of God, because the fire of your love is burning inside the people that are already inside of this building, and they cannot rest until they love 1, 2, 3, 5, and then your spirit just does more to bring people into the kingdom of God. Father God, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Father. And I thank you for all those that will pray for us and help us financially to accomplish the things that you've given us to accomplish in your great kingdom work. Lord, bless the people as they bless the people of Israel. Bless the people as they bless the Jewish people. Thank you, Father. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen.